Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
There's one thing about church. The church is not just people getting together, talk about God, hear about God. But church is really about family, doing life together, spending time together, fellowship. It's so good to be a part of God's fellowship. Well, how many are ready to jump into the Word of God this morning? Are you all ready? First of all, let's look at this incredible story, and then we'll pray. How's that? The message series is called Vision, Moving Life Forward. And last week, does anybody remember who I talked about last week? Who's the guy I talked about last week? Moses. Talk about greater faith. Moses definitely had an encounter with God that was broken up into three parts. Those three parts of that encounter are for every single believer today, but not many are experiencing it today. So you can go back to the City Light app and you can listen to that message. But when Moses had an encounter with God, he ended up with greater faith and he did incredible things for God, right? When he partnered with God. Three things he got. When he was in his lifetime, he found out who his identity was. His identity was as a Christ follower, a believer of God. Second, he got a relationship with God that was began to be extraordinary. And third, he found his purpose in life. And boy, it's a good thing that, you know, Moses found his purpose. Plus, we probably wouldn't be here today if you think about it, right? So we're going to look at another guy. And we're going to go to a book in the Old Testament. It's called 2 Kings, chapter 5. And what's 2 Kings all about? Can anybody tell me? It's about kings, right? It's about the kings of Israel and the king of Judah. It's all about those kings. And it just talks throughout lots of chapters, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. But this particular chapter in 2 Kings, chapter 5, is not really focused on an Israelite king, a king that was chosen to lead God's people, but it was actually focused on a commander of a king, and his name is Moses, and the king was not a king over God's people. He was the king of Aram, the Arameans, who were wicked enemies of Israel, of God's people. So, this guy, his name is Naaman. Naaman is the commander, and he has tremendous respect with the king of Aram because this guy has done incredible things, won great victories for Aram. So let's look at that first verse, chapter 5, verse 1. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. Wait a minute. What did it say there? Who had God given victories to? And through whom? Through this guy named Naaman, who was not a believer, right? He was the enemy of God's people. But yet it says the Lord had given Aram great victories through this guy named Naaman. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." And so Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." And so Naaman started out, carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. Wow, that's a lot of precious metal. 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." Here's the king's reaction. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? That's the way a pastor feels sometimes when people come to him and say, hey, pastor, can you help me? Is it like, am I God or what? Right? He says, why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? And so Naaman turned away. He turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the river, Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed! Exclamation mark. Bow your heads, let's pray. Thank you for the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. Help us today, Holy Spirit, open up our ears, eyes, our senses to your Word today. Lord, help us to hear your Word. Help us to receive your Word. Help us to live out your Word for our great benefit and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 The title of my message is about vision, and it's called Greater Wholeness. Greater Wholeness. God's vision, I said in the very first message of this vision series, is that God has vision for you. God sees you. God's vision is essentially consists of 3 parts for you, for your life. Right? First of all, God wants to see you saved. It's the most important thing. God wants you to receive his Son as Lord and Savior. Receive the gift of eternal life. You receive the gift of heaven, right? First gift. But you know what's more than that, that God wants to give you? That's just a part of what God sees you getting from him. He wants, the second part, he wants to see you whole. He wants, doesn't want to see you as that broken person in that same place living your broken life, right? He wants to see you whole. And the third thing that God wants to see you is he wants to see you in his purpose for the reason that he created you. Amen? But you see, you cannot fully live out the purpose of God unless you're in a process of being made whole, of being healed. I mean, God could use you at any stage of your life. He could use the most broken person. But listen, the more healed you are, the more whole together you are, the more that God can use you. Amen? God wants to make you whole. That's the way that God sees you. See, I said that God sees you not just as you were, your past life before Jesus, and he doesn't see you as you are right now today. He also sees you as you can be, the way that he designed you to be, right? So the question is this, do you see yourself whole? Do you have a vision for your personal life to see you whole? Do you see yourself healed? Do you see yourself free? Do you see yourself complete? Do you see yourself becoming more like Jesus? To have vision. God created us to have vision. We cannot live without vision. You lose your vision, you start to die. To have vision is to see things different than they are. It's to see things potentially. It's seeing something in some, seeing things in some cases bigger, but in every case better. God wants you to be bigger, and God wants you to be better. Amen? God never does things halfway. We do, right? We settle for halfway. We settle for a second, less than the best. But listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ in the time of his return. God, by his Spirit, has his hand on your life. You are in his palm and you are in his plan. Do you know that? Every person, he's preparing you, he's perfecting you, he's completing you, he's restoring you, right? He wants to make you whole. He's the plan for you. God's vision is to see you whole. I made the point. Naaman is a man of position. He's a man of prestige, and Naaman has a problem. What's his problem? Leprosy. The leprosy that he's been hiding under his clothes cannot be hidden anymore, and he's about to lose everything. He's about to lose his position. He's about to lose his family. He's about to lose his friends. Leprosy. This hideous disease called leprosy begins small. Here's some things about leprosy. It begins small. It's just a few tiny little spots on your skin that start to, they're like blemishes. They turn red. They start to swell a bit. Leprosy begins small. Secondly, it's highly contagious. And that's why in those days they used to have leper colonies. If you had leprosy, you were put in one of these colonies. You were separated from everyone else. Third thing about leprosy, it numbs the nerve endings in your body, in your fingers, your toes. It numbs it to the point you can't even feel it. You can't even feel if you've been cut, if you've been wounded, or if you've burned yourself. Literally, what leprosy did is it caused people to lose parts of their body because they just couldn't feel it anymore. You know? And leprosy literally destroyed the entire, ended up destroying the entire body. If you had leprosy, it could destroy your life. Here's the first point. In the Bible, leprosy is compared to sin. Sin is like leprosy. Here's some things about sin. Number one, sin separates people. Sin separates you from God, separates you from other people. Second thing it does, it sears your conscience. You know, if you're a believer in Christ and you're trying to serve God, and you've got this temptation, and you fall into it, you just give in to it. You're at a weak moment. And then you're so convicted, right? I mean, you think, God, why did I ever do that? You know, why did that, like, I shouldn't have done that. And so you say, God, I'm never going to do that again. But then you have another weak moment, and you just fall into that sin again. And then you might repent again. You have some conviction. But then you do it again, and pretty soon it's no longer sin. It's just a negative habit in your life. That's the power of sin. Number three, sin sets you in a state of numbness. When you're living in sin, you're insensitive to God. You become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't sense God's Spirit. And the thing about sin, it spreads. You know, like, if you're once, you know, when I was a sinner, I didn't just have one sin in my head. I had multiple sins in my life, you know. I was drinking, I was smoking, did a little bit of dope here, you know, cheated people, you know, were mean to people, didn't forgive people, you know, swore a lot. One said sin led to another, right? You know, sin spreads, and it spreads to other people. Romans chapter 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is spiritual leprosy. And spiritual leprosy destroys the relationships. You know, it destroys marriages and destroys friendships that can be the dearest of friends that can divide even the dearest of friends. You know, and I think that sin, basically, one of the worst things, it just leaves you without feeling. It's all, you know, you're just caught up in your sin. It leaves you without feeling, just like Mr. Deed's foot. Let's see, go to Mr. Deed's foot. There we go. They're like Mr. Deed's foot, right? I mean, you could stomp on it, you can stomp on it, and you could take this iron from the fireplace, and you can whack it over and over again, but you can't feel anything, right? You know, and that's what sin does, right? So, in the Bible, leprosy is compared to sin. So, point two, leprosy starts small, and it ends big, and it can even end in death, right? So that's the reason why Naaman needed the cure so bad. So this great commander, Naaman, he who's an enemy to God's people, crosses the line into Israel all because of this young Israelite servant girl who was serving their household. And she says, hey, to his wife, like, why doesn't Naaman just go to Israel and go see the prophet in Samaria and he'll be healed? Well, Naaman is, at this point in time, he's desperate. He's got no other recourse. So he listens. The letter is sent to the king. He comes into Israelite territory. And when Naaman the conqueror shows up at Elisha's house, Elisha doesn't even get out of the door to meet him. He just sends a messenger with this message. What's the message? Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, when Naaman heard that, it was like he heard it like this. Man, just go jump in the lake. Go jump in the lake, man. Like, get out of here. That's the way that he heard it. And he was so angry. Yeah, just go jump in the lake. I'm thinking about jumping in the lake. Every summer, our kids love jumping into Kootenai Lake. You know, just jump off the dock. So easy, so much fun. And that's what Elisha is trying to tell Naaman. Naaman, this is easy. This is so simple. There's nothing to it. That's all you have to do. Go and dip. Just jump in and dip. But Naaman's so upset. Naaman gets so angry. And there's one thing I learned, that people with leprosy, people with sin, get angry with God. And they get angry with God's servants. You know, and they're so easily angered and so easily offended. In fact, it says here, Naaman turned in rage. Turned in rage. Question, like, wouldn't you think that Naaman, when he heard that, wouldn't you think he would have been happy? I mean, just dip 7 times in a river. And you get your friends back, you get to keep your position, your friends, your family, you get to keep your life, and you get healed. You'd think he'd be excited about that, right? But you know, I say that Naaman's just kind of like us. Naaman wants it done his way, in a certain way, according to his expectation of how it's going to go down. So in his mind, in his opinion, he's thinking, this is how it's going to go down. I'm going to go to the man of God, and the man of God is going to see me, and he's going to recognize me, and he's going to take my gifts, and he's going to wave his hand over me, and voila, I am going to be healed. And he says, and besides, if I'm going to jump into any river to be cleansed, it's going to be at the Banff Springs Spa, not in Chin Lake. Naaman wanted 3 things. He wanted recognition. He wanted an easy solution. He wanted it done his way, his river. And that's kind of like us sometimes, right? Well, if God doesn't do it right now for me, solve this problem, he doesn't give me what I want right now, well, then I'm going to go to the self-help river. I'll go to the internet information river. I'll go to the lose weight river. I'll go to the medicate me river, right? God, just recognize me. Make my problems go away, my way. And all God wants us to do is to obey, right? Isn't that true? The Jordan was a dirty river. It was muddy. It was, you know, people just didn't like going in there. And he's asking himself, why this river? This is a dirty river. If I get into this river, why? I'll probably get worse. I'll pick up some, you know, microbe or something like that. No leeches on me. Like, I don't want to go into that river. Why this river? It might even get worse. But point number three, the Jordan represents something very special here. A new beginning. A new beginning. If you think about the history of the Jordan River, do you remember, if you're a Bible reader, you read in the Old Testament how the people went to the Red Sea? They came out of bondage out of Israel, and then God took them, split the Red Sea. Great miracle, they went right through. There was another body of water that they had to press through. Then when they trekked to the desert, but now God is ready to take them into the promised land. What separated them from the promised land in the desert? The Jordan River. The Jordan. And they had to cross that Jordan. You know, there was a Jordan, and the priests and all the company stood there, and they kind of looked at it. And the scripture says, when they put their foot in it, it started to part. And they went through to the promised land. The Jordan represents the entrance of a new life, a new beginning for God's people into the promised land. Into the promised land. They carried the ark of God's presence right through that river. It also represents, number two, where Jesus was baptized 900 years after the time of Naaman. This is where Jesus started his ministry. If you read that, where did Jesus get baptized? In the Jordan River, right? But who did he get baptized by? Bible class. John the Baptist. He says, let us do so to fulfill all righteousness, right? New beginnings. And God's saying here, you got to go to the beginning. Naaman thought his problem was leprosy. But really, you know what his problem was? Pride. Naaman thought his problem was an internal problem or an external problem. But really, his problem was an internal problem. Naaman wanted an outside issue healed. God wanted to do something on the inside. Amen? I say sometimes God has to do something inside of us before he can do something on the outside of us, right? He has to do something inside before something happens to us outside, right? Sometimes I have to forgive someone before I can get healed, right? Sometimes I have to repent of what I'm doing before I'm going to see the breakthrough. Sometimes I've got to obey God if I want to see blessing in my life, right? And I was thinking about my mom, and I, you know, I've told my story to my mom so many times, and you know, and I'll tell it again. My mom had arthritis so bad. She was about 65, maybe 66 years old, and the arthritis really began to take center in her body. You could literally see it in all the joints, affected all her joints. Then she lived in a nursing home on the 13th Street North, and the helpers had to literally dress her, try to get her a cup, but she couldn't even hold a cup anymore. They ended up putting her in a wheelchair. We took her to specialists, to Calgary. All they could do was medicate her. No, there was no solution. See, there was an issue behind that arthritis. My mom was 16 years old when my dad lived in Mission, B.C., went to Japan, picked her up as a bride. She became a war bride because after they got married in Japan, they moved back to Mission, B.C. The war really broke out. And you know what happened to the Japanese? Canadians were living on the West Coast. They all got removed and shoved, you know, against their will. They were put in these beet camps, which were semi-prison camps, and they were made to work there. And they lived in hovels in the wintertime. You could see right through the cracks. But there was so much, you know, there was so much bad stuff that happened in my mom's life that I remember growing up as a young boy, my mom was always bitter towards people, always suspicious of the neighbor. Oh, I think the neighbor is doing something. I think the neighbors are trying to rob from us. It was like she had so much unforgiveness, so much bitterness in her life, in her heart. And I think at that point in time, you know, it really started to be evidenced in her arthritis. So, you know, my brother and I, we said, we're going to fast and pray once a week. Every Tuesday, we're going to fast and pray because until mom gets healed. And we're not going to stop, God, you know, until you heal my mom. So every Tuesday, we would fast, and then we would get together and pray. Almost every Tuesday, we hardly ever missed. And we just kept doing it and doing it for several months, and all of a sudden, bang. My sister called and said, your mom is healed. Mom is healed. She's out of her chair. She wants to go to the mall. She's walking around. See, what happened? Part of what happened here was this. In our fasting and prayer time, we said, God, you got to heal her. God heard our prayers. And he called this guy who lived in Brazil, South America, in the country of Brazil. His name was Hideo Kunihara. He was a Japanese guy. He was a top flight executive for Texas Instruments. He was an entrepreneur. He became a full-time evangelist. There was lots of Japanese in Brazil. It's the second highest population of Japanese in the world. And so he was reaching out. Now he heard there was a Japanese population in southern Alberta who needed to hear the gospel. And so he came and he prayed for my mom in a very extensive prayer of forgiveness and repentance and freedom from bitterness. And my mom was healed. It's the power of God. Power of God. Right? God has easy answers. Next point. God has easy answers for our leprosy, our sin. It's just like for my mom. You know what it's called? Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. That's God's answer. Easy answer. Faith and obedience. Just go jump in a lake. Seven times. One, two, three. Is that enough? Nope. Four, five, six, seven times. Jump in the lake, right? That's what God's saying. God says, jump in the lake. Just, you know, when you think about it, that was easy. That's all he had to do. God has easy answers for our leprosy, for our sin. For the cleansing of all sin. What's the easy answer on your PowerPoint? What's it? How do you want to get cleansed from sin? What do? You repent and you turn away, right? Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear brothers, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your, what? Salvation with fear and trembling. We know that you don't work for your salvation. It's free, right? It's a gift of God. You receive Christ into your heart. You believe in God. You receive Christ. You believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins. You believe he rose from the grave. You believe he's alive today. You receive him into your heart. He comes into your heart by your spirit. You're saved. But God doesn't just want you to save. He wants you to be whole, right? He wants you to be whole. And he doesn't want sin to bring rampant in our life, so he says to repent and turn away. Salvation, that word salvation, actually is translated wholeness. And the Bible says, work on your wholeness. Work on your wholeness, right? And we say, God, can't you just wave your hand over us? And God says, no, I've got simple, easy answers. While they're simple answers, sometimes they're not so easy to do, right? Repent and turn away. How about for bitterness? What's the answer? For bitterness? Forgiveness. What type of forgiveness? 70 times 7 forgiveness. Huh? What does Jesus say? Jump in the lake 70 times 7 and forgive. What did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, what do I do with this guy? You know? He keeps offending me. Like, how many times do I have to forgive him? What did Jesus say? He says, well, Lord, 7's enough, right? He said, no, not 7. 70 times 7. You know? Well, I don't want to forgive. I can't do it. I won't do it. Go jump in the lake. Amen? Amen? How about for offenses? What's the easy answer? What's the simple answer for offenses? Go and make it right. You're offended with someone? Don't just stay offended. Go and make it right with that person. And if you have to take someone else, I don't have the scripture on the screen, that's Matthew 18:15. If your brother offends you, go to him, you know, and get it right, right? If he doesn't listen, take someone else with you. Well, I don't want to. I want to hold on to it. Yeah, I've got pride. Amen? We want the easy answers, you know. No, here's another one. We want financial blessing. We want the finance. God, do you bless our finances? I need more money, you know. I need this, I need that. We need to buy a house, we need a kid's education. You know, we want financial blessing without trusting God with the tithe. Whoops. Somebody got affected there. Brett's laughing, he's the only one. Tithe! You want blessing? Do what God's saying. It's simple. That's all you have to do. Tithe 10% of your income. You want healing in your life? You know, some people, they need healing. They're sick in their bodies, yet they won't come up for prayer. I said, go up for prayer. I said, don't go up once. An old-time evangelist friend of ours, Bob Hoover, he had an illness when he's in his 30s, and he was sick all the time. He said God told him to hit every single prayer line. He says, every time I saw a prayer line, I got up there and I got prayer. He says, one day, boom, I was totally healed, miraculously healed. Right? We want wisdom and direction, but then we don't really want to listen to what God's word says, or we don't listen to what someone else says. You know, we just want God to just wave his hand instead of us responding to his word, right? So, back to the story. Naaman is angry. He's angry at God. He's angry at God. He's angry at Elisha. He is so mad. He's saying, why am I not being healed? I'm going to say this. Don't let that simple step become a stumbling block for you, right? I say, thank God. Thank God that Nehemiah had some friends. He said, Nehemiah, hey, get over your pride. Like, just get into that river. You know, just listen to that prophet. Just go do it, you know, and just obey the prophet. So he gets into the river. I want to tell you that. I thought about that. You know, you read that story, you gloss over, you think, yeah, it should have been easy. Why did he resist, you know? But you think about it. He's a man of great prestige and power. People look up to him. He has a big reputation. He's just conquered Israel. He's the main figurehead. And he's going into the territory that he's conquered. And he gets into this river, and he's drawing a crowd. His friends are there, the army is there, and people are coming on the bank, and they're seeing what's going on. Who is that guy? What? That's that Naaman guy. And Naaman's thinking, I'm stripped down to my waist. All these people are looking at me. And he said, man, I'm embarrassed. And he's having a hard time. But he gets into the river. And he begins to dip and to bob up and down, up and down. Gets up once, looks, nothing. Okay, I'll go down again. Get up in. Nope, not yet. Third time. Nope. Fourth time. Man, am I ever going to get healed? Fifth time. Man, I'm feeling like an idiot here, you know? Sixth time. One more time. Nothing yet. Seven times. Gets up at the moment of his full obedience. He receives his miracle. It's the moment of his miracle. You know? 2 Kings chapter 5, 14. Says, so Naaman went down to the river Jordan, the Jordan River, dipped himself seven times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. The Bible said his skin like the skin of a child, just like a baby's bum. He was healed, right? Healed. But not only that. Listen, that's not all that happened to Naaman. Way more than that. Naaman was healed yet. Yes, but Naaman also became a believer in the living God. He became a worshiper of God. Verse 15, when Naaman and his, who? Entire party. It wasn't just Naaman. There is a whole bunch of his peers his friends, army people around him, with him, Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. And they stood before him, and Naaman declared these words. He said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other God except the Lord." Say greater wholeness. Greater wholeness. We all need greater wholeness. Do you agree with that? Last point. You've got to keep dipping. We've got to keep dipping. We've got to keep dipping in the Word, dipping in prayer, dipping in worship, dipping in forgiveness, dipping in repentance, dipping our pride. Keep on dipping, you know, and keep on going to the river. Keep on going back to the river. Keep jumping in the Jordan. Keep going back to the beginning. Keep going to Jesus for all the answers of your life, right? Don't turn to the self-help people. Go to Jesus first, right? And if God uses the self-help people as well, praise God. But he's the answer for every situation, problem, sickness, illness, addiction. He's the answer. Amen? Go to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. He's the author. He's the beginner. And he's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's alive today. Amen? Amen. Don't see yourself anything but except being whole. See yourself whole. See yourself being healed, body, soul, and spirit. Right? Don't resign yourself. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in to that addiction. See, I'm always going to have that. No! You don't have to have it. Don't give in to it. With God's help, with God's prayer, you know, with God's power, God can give you. Don't give you into that. Don't give in to that illness. Don't give in to that discouragement. Don't give in to that setback. Don't give into that lack. Don't give in to any of that. Amen. Don't give in to that fear, that discouragement. See yourself being made whole. You know why? Because God is big. And as God is big, expect big God to do big things in your life today. Amen? If you agree with that, let's say amen. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for good things, big things. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you've got leprosy that you're struggling with. You know, maybe you've got some sin that you're struggling with that's getting in way of you and your relationship with God and other people, and maybe your conscience is somewhat seared, or maybe you're feeling kind of numb towards God. You know, and I believe that God is saying it's time to turn your life to Jesus, or maybe it's time to turn your life back to Jesus. And it's time to go, you know, to have a new beginning. Go back to the Jordan River. Get a new beginning in your life. You know, God is speaking. He says, people need to leave their pride. People need to leave their pride. You know, and sometimes I've got pride in my life. I said, well, yeah, I'm struggling with it, but I don't want to go up with prayer. I'm supposed to be the big pastor, and people, if I'm stuck up there praying, someone's praying over me, and I start crying and weeping, they're going to think, you know, like, what's wrong with that pastor, you know? We need to get over our pride, right? Pride. One time I went to, time is already up, but I went to this meeting in Lethbridge here, and this great speakers, let me just finish with this story. The great speakers, David and Mary Pitches from the U.K., they were God initiated the renewal movement in England, where the Holy Spirit came in power, went into Toronto, and it happened in the 90s. And in the 90s, all the pastors were invited to go to this church here in Lethbridge. All of it was just packed with pastors. God was doing something extraordinary, incredible. The Holy Spirit was moving in different ways that we had never seen, experienced before. And I remember David and Mary Pitches were preaching, talking about character, talking about personalities, you know, and talking to pastors. Like, a lot of pastors were hurt people. They were like porcupines, you know, you couldn't get close to them, or like prickly pears, you know. And I'm saying, the guy with, they call him Randy Railer, they had names, the guy with the big, long, bony finger, he's always accusing people and said, yeah, you need to change, you need to change. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, I know those, yeah, I know people like that, I know people like that. And then when he said, you're Randy Railer, God says, you're like that. You're like that. See, I've been hurt so many times. I had nursing my wounds, and I developed kind of a bitter spirit. And God said, you're like that. And then there was a call to go to the front. And then God said, and I felt the Holy Spirit, go to the front. You get before God, you repent, and I want to do something. I want a new beginning in your life. And I resisted like crazy. I was looking for other pastors to go up, but nobody went up. I was the only one up there. Maybe son of the pastor on the side, big stage. All eyes. And this guy came to minister to me, and I wept, and I wept, and I cried like a baby. I had snot running down my nose. I was out loud. I couldn't even keep quiet, you know. And I tell you, I felt like I felt the presence of God coming as I humbled myself, and I was healed. I got up. I felt like I was born again. I felt the freedom and the freshness. You know, we need to experience that throughout our time. We just need to get our face towards God and just say, God, I need help. I can't do this life alone, right? When you're with family, you can say, it's family, who cares? They love me, they'll accept me who I am. Amen? People need to leave their pride, right? So today, if you got anything to deal with, I'm challenging you. There's a prayer altar here. If you got something to deal with, come to the altar. Come to the altar, right? Come to the altar, receive Jesus, never leave the same. Amen? Bow your heads. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. You know, if that's you, when I talked about a new start, you need a Jordan experience. If that's you, you need a new start in your life. I want you to say this very simple, powerful prayer. And it's a powerful prayer that you say it, your life will never be the same again. So, maybe you're here, you never received Christ into your life to be Savior and Lord of your life. Or maybe you need to come back to God again. Will you repeat this prayer after me? Say these words after me. You can say it out loud, you can see it in your head, but you say it to God, He hears every single word. And God honors, He honors, He's delighted to hear you pray these words. Dear Jesus, dear Father in heaven, I acknowledge, say these words, dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross, and I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sins. I believe you were resurrected, and you are the God who is living today, and you are the answer to my problems. Lord Jesus, today I turn from all my sins, and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life.